Good morning, everybody. If we embrace today's talk, embrace the Word of God today, I should say rather, our church will be a great place to come to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together. We thank you that we, as your people, can now sit in fellowship around your word. Help us to be transformed by it. Amen. Well, we're in Challenge Month. We're up to week two. Last week, we started where you should start, with Jesus. He is the head of our community. So as we are spending a month thinking about what it is to be a Christian community, we started last week thinking about Jesus as the head. There he is. Jesus as the head. Jesus is the one in charge of our community. So what do we think about today? What do we think about today? We think about how do we function with Jesus as the head. And how we function is as a family. We function as a family. And I want to draw us to two aspects of that today. Two parts. The first part is that we are no ordinary family. We are a spiritual family. See, our community is founded on Jesus. Our spiritual reality that we have with this bond with Jesus that we saw last week is different to all other communities. The Holy Spirit convicts us that Jesus is Lord. Our hearts are convicted of that, and we are bonded to him and to each other because of it. And this bond is unique. Our family has a future reality. And it's really important for us to remember. You may remember last week we looked at Colossians 3 to remind us that Jesus is the head of our community. Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and following reminds us that our future reality is what we need to be focused on. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There is a future reality. You have been raised with Christ. There is a sense that even though you are now sitting here in this building on those chairs, there is a sense in which you are already in the heavenly realms with God. Your place is there. That is where you belong. That is your home. That is our home. That is where we are to be forever. We've been raised with Christ. We set our hearts on things above. See, this future reality that we have because we've died with Christ is what shapes our family here and now. It shapes how we think. And that future reality is beautifully presented in the end of the Bible. In Revelation, the final book of the Bible, where the Apostle John has been given a glimpse of heaven. Jesus shows it. We see in chapter 1, verse 4, there's a throne. After this, John said, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was the throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And then we get through chapters 4 and 5, the description of that someone. The Lamb who was slain, the head of our church, our family, Jesus on the throne. And the picture, the glimpse of heaven that John was given, was of worship, of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the way the one on the throne is seen. To the point you get in chapter 5, verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory, power for ever and ever." The picture of our reality. What you think, if you're saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus, he has saved me," is that I am looking forward to the time when I am there praising God, when the throne is before me together and we sing his praises. And now we don't live in an ideal fantasy world. We live in the physical, we live in time, we live here. And so it must involve meeting. It must involve being together, as if our very purpose for the future, the glimpse of heaven that John saw so that we could see, is that we will be around the throne. If that is what our future is, wouldn't it be an outrageous thing if we think in the now we're not that fussed about expressing it? That we're not looking to it. Instead, our relationship with Jesus will just between me and him, and my commitment to my community now isn't that important. Or I'm just not fully in. It's hypocritical. And it's a contradiction of what should shape everything about you. The future reality must shape our local Christian fellowship now. All the people around you, how you see them is shaped by what's to come. And if we think about it, just for a moment, there is Jesus, and we are there with him. We have him there, we're praising him, giving glory to him. So now, how is it that we know Jesus? How is it that we have him revealed to us? It is the Word of God. If Jesus is the head, and the Word of God is how now we have him revealed to us, that becomes the central thing of our family. That is what is absolutely central. And that is exactly how the church started. At Pentecost, after the Spirit came and people were brought into God's family, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. This is what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, another way of saying what Jesus taught, not some extra things the apostles came up with. They devoted themselves to Jesus and his words. Right in those early days, they didn't have a book put together like we did. We do. But they still had the Word of God. And they devoted themselves to it. Gordon Knox, who was a principal at Moore College, he described what church is like in this way. It's Christians in relationship, fellowship around God's Word. We, if we are going to be a family that is a Christian community, God's Word is central. That is why our Bible studies are Bible studies. That is why we read the Bible and we devote to them and we're committed to them. That is why, I don't know if you've noticed in our service, we try and make everything focused on the Word of God. For when we come, we sing songs that are oozing the words of God out to us as we praise him. From when we pray, when we convict ourselves of the words of God that tell us that we need forgiveness and that we have forgiveness and that we can be thankful to him and that we can ask him for help. To everything we do, we want to make the Word of God central when we meet. Even the new news sheet tried to subtly even indicate that on the front. What's God's Word going to be in the coming weeks? Open it up, God's Word and prayer. We are focused on the Word of God and to fellowship But the crucial thing I think that we need to just contemplate for a moment about fellowship is that fellowship's a great thing, right? You come together, you hang out for whatever reason, you have excellent fellowship with one another. But that's not what we're on about. We do that, but we're on about Christian fellowship. And there is a distinction to be made. See, Christian fellowship would be that you'd be devoted to encouraging one another in Christ. As Broder Knox also said in the same article, Christian needs other Christians to bring the words of God to them. That is what Christian fellowship is. Now, if you know me and you know Steve Bryant, we have a common fellowship bond. Soccer, football. Right? We watch it all the time together. We love it. We watch the football. And that's great. It's an excellent thing to do. But it's when we're encouraging one another in the Word of God, when we pray, when we read the Word, when we do that with each other, that is Christian fellowship. If we are just a group of people who do those other things, we've lost Christian fellowship. Devoted to the breaking of the bread. Why be devoted to the breaking of the bread that we did last week? Because that is a physical act of the fellowship we have, which reminds us that we are united to Jesus, that the words of God unite us to Jesus. It is a fellowship, a physical way that we can express the reality of our relationship with each other that we have in Jesus. And so what else do we do? Of course we pray. If our future reality, right, is with God for all eternity, now we express that by prayer. Not individual prayer alone, but together. That's why it's a very helpful, beneficial thing to do, to pray together. Each week as we come together, we pray. We pray, God, we are sorry as your people. Thank you for your forgiveness. See, in the future, there is no sin. We are perfect. As we express it now, we look to that, look forward to it, and come together as his people and say, we're sorry and we're thankful. And we share all our requests, all our heartaches, all our praise and thankfulness with the one who we are going to be praising forever. See, we are no ordinary family. We are a spiritual family. A family with a future reality. And we are committed to the here and now. And so the question, the first application for today, for part one, is that, are you devoted? I know that our devotion to our family here is varied across all the different people that are here. Some of us need to step up and say, actually, you know what? I am a Christian because I'm looking forward to that future and I haven't been expressing it here. You know what? I know the Word of God's central, but I think about my life and I haven't really been making it central and I certainly haven't been trying to bring it to others. Are you devoted to the Word of God? How can you be devoted to the Word of God more? See, it's not just an individual thing to know the Word of God. It's a people of God thing. The challenge here for you here is to be devoted to what we do together. Another guy I've been reading this week, I've read a lot of over the years, because I just love the way he talks about church and community and things, is a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you've never heard of him, he was a German theologian around World War II. He got caught up in the war. He was in jail for a very long time. He was involved in an assassination plot of Hitler. He's in jail for a long time, and he wrote a book on community called Life Together. And as I was reading that this week, he said this: it should not be taken for granted that Christians get to meet together. It is a privilege to be able to live among other Christians. got me thinking. It got me thinking. You know, I struggle to think that because I always get to meet with other Christians my whole life. I wonder whether that's been the case for you. But if you're in a jail cell, if you're in war, if you're at war, if you live in a country with such a dictator that if you meet together, then you get killed, you know the privilege of expressing the reality that you're looking forward to if you can't do it. What an insult to those, our brothers and sisters who can't, when we're lackadaisical about it. When we think that coming twice a week is committed. When we think just coming and going is commitment. When those that crave for it and can't have it realise what a privilege it is. Being devoted to your spiritual family. The second part that we want to consider about a family is that if they're the things we do, if we're devoted to them, how do we treat each other? How is it that we treat each other? And the beautiful imagery that we've had in the New Testament is the idea of the body. We saw last week Jesus is the head. But there's far more to the imagery, and we saw it read helpfully for us today, 1 Corinthians 12. The whole idea of how we do we treat each other is really significant. As I said right at the beginning, if we grab hold of this, this will be a place you'll want to come to. We are one body. Verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. We have one body. You see, Christianity means we're a community through Jesus, in Jesus, as one. And that is why a one body analogy works so helpfully. We don't have two bodies. You don't get up in the morning and wake up and go, oh, this body isn't feeling that good. I'll go to the cupboard and grab my business shirts and my other body. You don't do that. You don't detach yourself. You can't walk around as different parts. You can't send your arm off to work and your leg off to run. We are one body. And if we realise that this whole idea is the principle for how our family operates. You see, we are unified and diverse. Let me read from verse 12 again. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You see, we are unified. The whole idea of talking about the fact that we don't have another body, that we can't detach ourselves, points us towards unity. That is a principle of how our family should operate. We are unified. But we're not homogenized. We're not all one. We are different parts. We are different parts of the body. We have diversity. We are different. We have different parts to play, as our body does. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. See, the ear cannot say, my ear cannot say to my hand, I don't need you to write Michael's talks anymore because I'm going to do it. Right? Imagine if I shoved a pen in my ear and tried to write my talk. It's stupid. It'd hurt. I probably won't be able to hear anymore, and the very purpose of the ear is not going to work, and I'm not going to have a talk. We are diverse. We have different roles of equal value. See, we have different things that we could do. We serve in different ways. And we need to see. We need to see the diversity amongst us. See, the serving sheets that we had, I mentioned in the news time, is the expression of that. That's just a practical making it organised so it can happen. But the reality behind the serving roster is so that you and I can be diverse in our unity. See, if we don't have that, this service is going to fall apart. Okay? If I had to do the singing and the playing of the instruments as well, we'd be in big, big trouble. Laugh it a bit too much there, John. I can't play music. I can't do it. But some of you are brilliant at it. Some of you are brilliant at rosters. Some of you are brilliant at lots of different things. And you don't always have to be spectacular. We just serve each other and get things done that help, that serve the body. You see, we try and consider how we can play a part for the body, not how other people can just serve me. If we all thought like that, that would turn us to that future reality that I talked about. That will get us thinking more and more how God wants his family here to be. See, if we are unified and diverse, it naturally means we are interdependent. We are dependent upon each other. And there's a vulnerability that goes with that. We rely on each other for the sake of each other and for the glory of Jesus. We do. See, a family, your families, they're not a group of people that just function in the same house if they're working the way a family should. You don't divide everything up and nobody's allowed to go in each other's rooms and everybody's got to clean up just their own little part and that everybody's got to cook six meals. Because you know, a family is dependent upon each other. Somebody may be cooking the meals for everybody. Somebody's got the responsibility of putting out the bins. Even though the teenagers don't generally do it, you try and get them to do it. You've got lots of other things that you try and make a family work together and to be dependent upon one another. Our family is to be like that. To rely on each other in the way that we do our meetings together. We need to rely on each other. See, when you're there sitting down and you want to sing a song, you rely on Kate to press the button. Basic foundational thing, right? Simple. But it also gets really deep as well. We rely on each other to care for each other. Pastoral care is crucial. If somebody is weak, somebody is sick, we depend on others to care for them. And when we get it wrong, it hurts. You see, pastoral care, caring for people who are sick, caring for people who have got needs, people who have babies, whatever it is, it only works if we're dependent upon one another. It only works if we're willing to see that the other person is who I need to care for. There's a whole range of things that we could look at that we're not going to today, but here is the principle. How we use our gifts. How we use the basic abilities that we have. Is that we are unified and diverse and that we are interdependent. So how do we finish off today and apply this, really? Well, you need to seek unity. Not assume it's going to happen, not assume that everybody else should be unified and not consider whether you're actually seeking unity as well. We seek unity, not division. We don't complain about each other when there's no need for it. When things that haven't worked out the way I would like, but in the end, that's the direction things have gone, we don't seek to undermine. We don't shoot people down. We seek unity. If you're seeking unity, you'll embrace diversity also. I'm hoping this is the one that we really take on. And as we grow and get bigger, our diversity, just in the type of people that come to our church, I hope gets more and more and more diverse. And we need to be thinking, I want to embrace that. Those little prejudices we may hold, in whatever form they take, we need to shoot down. It'd be horrible if we went out to morning tea, if only the Greeks talked to the Greeks, if only the older people talked to the older people, if the people in the middle only talked to the middle. That's a real challenge for us. We need to embrace diversity, and we need to be considering that, you know what? Just because I don't get to do what I don't want to do, but somebody else is doing it this time, that is great. For some of us, we've been here for many, many years, 20 years or more. And somebody who's been here 2 years, who's now in a leadership position in a way that I could do and they're doing it, what right do they have to be in that position? If you think like that, you need to be rebuked. And it works on the flip side as well, doesn't it? You've just been here for a little while and you've got all these ideas and you see somebody doing something and they do it well and they've been doing it for a long time and you think, well, I just want to do it now. We embrace diversity. We embrace what each other is doing. We embrace the roles that we have. We embrace the type of people that we are. And thirdly, we are willing to be interdependent. We are willing to rely on each other. You see, we need to really think, am I willing to be vulnerable to my family? Am I willing to rely on others in the practical things of how we work, in our focus on the Word of God, and in our relationships? See, sometimes my fear is that any community, our community, is one body, but it's a bit broken. A little bit like my left eye. If you don't know, I've got about 10% vision in my eye. It doesn't work that well. And it's broken. I'm still one body, but what if we think that that's okay? That we're one body, but, you know, I've been asked to do this. Somebody thought I could do it. I don't really want to do it, so I'm going to do it haphazardly. It's not going to work, and it's going to affect a lot of people. Now, somebody needs care, and I just didn't get around to calling them this week, and they're sitting there by themselves, broken, like my eye. See, if I said to my knee, okay, knee, it's time to step up. You're going to be my left eye. It's not going to do a very good job because it can't see. We need to make sure that we can continue to be a body that does its part. So I wonder whether these things you embrace here. So I want to finish today by just remembering the head of our family, Jesus. See, his death brings us unity. His death brings us unity. In his death, he embraced all diversity. Anybody who comes to Jesus from wherever receives the same forgiveness and becomes part of the one people. And we need to remember, if we struggle with the concept of relying on each other, being vulnerable to each other, Jesus is God. The world was created through him, and he became man and died for us. He lowered himself that much to bring the unity and diversity of his people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be devoted to your word. Help us to be a unified body with all our diversity as we seek to glorify your Son, as we rely on each other in our family relationships. In your Son's name. Amen.